This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com and be sure to use discount code 17NERDSDIS. That's 17NERDSDIS to save 10%. TouringPlans.com.
My name's Bob and I'm glad you guys are here tonight! Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. And all those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast. We want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magic worlds of Disney.
Hello.
And welcome
to show number 200 of
the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome to our bicentennial show. On this week's show, what we're going to do is go over our last 100 shows in kind of a different fashion. One of the things I've wanted to do for, let's say about 150 shows, is give our listeners an opportunity to hear some things about our hosts. So we've picked out four questions we're going to talk about, and each one of us is going to take a shot at it. And to follow that up, we're going to talk about our favorite show of the last 100. Before we start the show, I want to introduce who we have on the show tonight, and it's almost the full boat. First off, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
Man, 200 episodes. I'm so excited about this. It's unbelievable. It seems like it's going by very fast. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago we started this, but it's been a lot of fun. We've got to make a lot of new friends, and we truly appreciate all of you guys. So if you're listening to this, look, we thank you so much because you're the reason we do this. And hopefully if you like the show, you share it with some of your friends. We truly appreciate you listening, and it's been a really fun 200 shows.
It has been fun, that's for sure. We also have Charlotte. Hey, Charlotte, how's it going?
I am so incredibly excited for episode 200 of the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait. Also, we have Lisa. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Hey, everybody. And hey, Disney Nerds.
And last but not least, Sam. How's it going, Sam?
Hello, Disney Nerds. Can you believe 200 episodes?
I hope they can, because it's really tough for me to believe it. We've been here for 200 shows, and it's been fun every step of the way. Now, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to take turns and talk about a couple things about ourselves, but we had to form some type of structure. So what we're going to do is first talk about the first time we went to Walt Disney World, then our favorite ride or attraction, then, of course, our worst ride or attraction, or something we really don't like to do. And then on our next trip, which we're pretty much all going in November, what is the first time I've never done this before thing that we're definitely going to be doing on this upcoming trip? And then what we're going to do is finish up with what was our favorite show of the last 100. So sit back, guys, listen in. You're definitely going to learn something about the nerds and do a little bit of reviews from the last 200 shows. So who wants to start first? Let's start with Charlotte. Charlotte, you can go.
My first time to Walt Disney World was actually much later than the rest of my team. I did not grow up with Disney theme parks in my life, and as an adult, it was not really something that I was doing either. It was after my cancer and realizing that there was a lot more to do in this world and this life, that I finally took the plunge and took my kids to vacation in Walt Disney World in 2009, I believe, either 8 or 9. It was that moment when my high school senior son grabbed my hand on Main Street along with his little sisters, and we walked down Main Street hand in hand to the castle that I became hooked forevermore. I now go way more than most people should probably ever go, and I have no shame in that at all. My most hated ride, it would have to be Mission Space Orange. It's a little bit of a tie with the teacups, but Mission Space Orange throws it over the top, because the last time I rode that ride, I was so incredibly sick that I had to go back to our resort for the rest of the day. I totally lost 8 hours in a park due to one ride. I'm too old for that. I can't do it. And so there will be no more Mission Space Orange in my future. The first time thing for me that is on the list for our November meets would probably be the O Canada movie in the Canada Pavilion at Epcot. I know a few of my podcast team members want to get me into the Country Bears show, but I will try to avoid that a little bit longer. My favorite shows of the past 100 are a little bit of a tie between two, and they actually happen to be only two apart from each other. My very favorite show is episode 145, where Jennifer and I got a chance to interview Lee Cockrell, who is just an amazing guy. And if you haven't listened to that show, you really need to listen to him. The next favorite show is 143, and that was the interview with Jim Corcus, who is the Disney historian. Because I'm in the middle of reading a bunch of his books right now, I re-listened to that episode just a few days ago, and I loved it. He is such a wealth of information, of things that we don't hear very often. And so my favorite shows are always when we have these amazing Disney guests on. They just bring the nerdy side to us and help us with that. I have loved all of our shows, but the guest speakers on our shows have been true favorites for me. I am so happy to be celebrating 200 episodes with the Disney Nerds podcast. I am looking forward to our next 200 shows and where we're going from here. It is so much fun, and I am so incredibly thankful to be with my people.
Hello and welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, episode 145. Executive Vice President, correct me if this is wrong, Executive Vice President of Operations for the Walt Disney World Resort, correct? That was like your...
That is
last
correct.
Title.
Yeah, that's right.
You did other things as well, though, both stateside and in Europe. And one of the things I think is most interesting, if people have followed your journey, is that you've publicly shared many times that you didn't finish a formal education. But one of the things I remember hearing you say early on is you learned so much just by leaving home and seeing the world. Like, that was such an important thing for you. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, kind of where you started and how you ended up at Disney?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Oklahoma, and I didn't leave the state till I was 20 years old. I tell people I grew up on a little farm in Oklahoma, and we didn't even have indoor plumbing. My mother ended up being married five times. She was kind of busy. And I ended up getting adopted by two of her husbands, so I've got my third name since I was born Cockerel. I got when I was 16. And so the fourth husband had a lot of money, so I got to go to college. And I went for 2 years, and I was a pretty bad student because I never went to class. And so I got out and went in the Army in 1964, and I served the Army. And then when I got out of the Army, I went to the Washington Hilton with a fellow I met in the Army. And I got a job as a banquet waiter at the Washington Hilton up on Connecticut Avenue. It's up there where – that's the hotel where Ronald Reagan got shot that day when he was coming out of the hotel back in the 80s. And yeah, so I worked there. I was just a waiter, and then I got into a management training program eventually with Hilton, and I stayed with Hilton 8 years and moved to Chicago from Washington. Met my wife at the Washington Hilton. She was in the office next door to mine. She used to come and use my pencil sharpener, so that's how I spotted her. And Then we moved to Chicago. We had a baby. Then we moved to New York City at the Waldorf Astoria. And then we moved up to Tarrytown, New York, up in about 40 miles north of Manhattan. Then we moved to Los Angeles with Hilton. And then there I quit and went with a little company in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I got fired after 90 days. And the place went bankrupt. And I had no job. And finally got a job with Marriott and stayed with Marriott 17 years and became the vice president of food and beverage there. And then I got recruited by Disney in 1990 to go to France. And when I asked my wife, "You want to go to France?" she said, "Yes."
That's so, a good answer, right?
So I resigned and we went to France. And I worked there for 3 years, opening Disneyland Paris. And then I got recruited back to Orlando in 1993. And I was first in charge of the hotel division there for a couple of years. And then in I guess it was 1997. I was put in charge of all operations at Walt Disney World and the parks and hotels and Disney Springs now and all that kind of stuff. And
everything.
Did that for 13 years. And so then I retired when I was 62. That was 10 years ago. And started my own business. I have a consulting business, a speaking business, seminar business. And I have my fourth book coming out on October 15th now. And it's been good. I was the kid who doesn't know where the commas go and didn't do well in English, but I've written four books. So what do you know? You never know what you're going to do.
And your fourth one is your career magic, basically, right? About your career path, which you kind of talked about, is it wasn't necessarily like everything went your way and was handed to you and you got to be the vice president at Disney World. Like, you really have learned a lot in a lot of different ways through life, which I think is really cool. Can you tell us a little about that book?
Yeah, that's a story I wanted to tell. You know, I think too many people today, they probably think Lee Cockrell, gosh, this guy, he went to college, he got a great job, he's always had a great life.
Knew somebody.
Knew somebody. Mm-hmm. And in this book, I tell all the stories of the obstacles you're going to run into, the disappointments, getting passed over for a promotion, getting fired, getting a boss you can't work with, and you end up leaving. And I mean, all the things that happen, ups and downs.
Right.
My career looks like the Dow Jones average. It goes up and down and up and down, but it's got a good trend line.
So, ultimately, it ends up, right?
Yeah. And then, eventually really the point I want to make in that book is don't underestimate what you can do, first of all. Too many people do. And second, don't underestimate the impact you can have on other people around you by being a nice person, being firm, being a good leader with your kids or in the workplace. As my granddaughter told me, she said, I asked her what the best first rule in customer service is. She said, "Well, Pappy, the first rule is be nice." And she's the nicest young lady in the world. She's about to go off to college. And I often look at her and think, you know, be nice. Yeah, that if we all could do that better.
That really was a good show. I mean, all our interview shows are good. And Lee Cockrell, just such great, great life lessons, along with such great information about Disney. That was a really good show. Okay, let's go with Sam next. Okay, Sam, you ready for this?
You know, I first visited Walt Disney World in 1986, a wide-eyed teenager who loved Epcot's Future World. Are you kidding me? Horizons, World of Motion, Living with the Land, Kitchen Cabaret, Universe of Energy, Meeting Figment and Dreamfinder. Just an incredible first impression. All classics. Move to World Showcase? What is this? Get me back to the Magic Kingdom. I want to route Space Mountain. And in 1986, to me, that's really what Walt Disney World was. It was the Magic Kingdom and Epcot's Future World. There was no reason for me to head back to World Showcase. Boy, how things have changed, haven't I? My favorite ride of all time? I think it's the simple pleasure of the Walt Disney World Railroad. Now, as a little boy, I loved trains. The annual holiday build around the Christmas tree escalated into a 4x8 platform that I could spend hours working on. From the trains and the track to the scenery and the houses, the county fair, the farm, the construction sets, anything you could think of. And when you think about it, the Disneyland Railroad, and to some extent the Walt Disney World Railroad, are nothing more than a full-size train set. Walt's train set. The set that evolved from the Carrollwood Pacific in Walt's backyard. And by the way, a shout-out to the Imagineers for recognizing that and adding the Carrollwood Pacific logo to the train station and Storybook Circus. Disneyland and Walt Disney World are Walt's life-size train set. One thing I can remember as a boy is that my train was never finished. There was always something I wanted to do, something I wanted to make better, something I wanted to plus, something I wanted to add. And that's exactly the way Walt looked at Disneyland. And that continues to be true today at the Walt Disney Company. So my favorite, the Walt Disney World Railroad. With some honorable mentions too: Mansion, Pirates, Big Thunder, Splash, Buzz, Small World, Tiki, Space, and the list goes on and on and on. So you kind of get my point. Which, by the way, what ride do I not like? Come on, man. What kind of question is that? My most hated ride at Walt Disney World? No. Absolutely none. How can you possibly hate any attraction? By the way, they're themed attractions, not rides. Haunted Mansion's not a ride. Pirates isn't a ride. Now, sure, there are some I like more than others, but as the bumper sticker says, my worst day fishing is better than my best day at the office. Isn't that true of Walt Disney World? I'll take any day at Walt Disney World in any attraction queue over a day in the office. If there's anything I don't like at Walt Disney World, it's the daily rain shower or the threat of severe weather, as experienced by the Disney Nerds podcast and our friend Matthew that we met back in 2016. No thanks, Matthew. We don't want to see you in the future. As far as this trip coming up in November, what's the first thing that I want to do? Well, it really depends on the day of the week that I go to the parks. Food and Wine Festival, high on my list because it will be early and my first visit, but not on a Friday or Saturday evening. Locals can have it. Disney Springs has quickly become a must-do for me. So many great restaurants. The Magic Kingdom? Well, sure, because it's the Magic Kingdom. Why wouldn't you want to go there? But I also have some little things that I want to do, like the Tri-Circle D Ranch on my list, and some other out-of-the-way Disney resort experiences that we don't always get to experience, but I think just enhance Walt Disney World. Maybe a kitchen sink is in store, or at least a No Way Jose over the Yacht Club, which you can get to easily from Epcot's Backdoor International Gateway. A great, great spot. So, what's my favorite show in the last 100? Can you believe 200 episodes? Anyway, I love the Best Restroom Show back in 109. Love that. If we did it today, it would be different and have new facilities to talk about. Love show number 128, April 1st, 2016, Ed's Spring Break and Park News. Of course, being released on April 1st, you should have got a little idea as to what that episode was going to be. Ed did correctly predict the eventual announcement of Spaceship Earth turning into the Death Star. Although it only lasted for one night as a special promotion around Rogue One, it was still cool to see nonetheless. I think the Hollywood Studios time capsules, number 130 and 178, are providing a valuable snapshot of the transition of Hollywood Studios. I also love the Disney in Detail show. Mostly, I love doing the homework and connecting the dots on our favorite attractions, like Soarin' back in number 171. And when it comes to connecting the dots, show number 182, the Epcot 5-year plan, provided a great way to talk about changes, which were mostly confirmed just a few months later at the D23 Expo. Those changes, Epcot and Walt Disney World Resort-wide, are all updating the train layout. They're changing the layout for Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, and I can't wait to see what else is in store. While the future is indeed bright, understanding how we got here, the history of Walt Disney World and the Disney Company are near and dear to my heart, and that's what I hope to share with you, our listeners of the Disney Nerds podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the Disney Nerds podcast. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. I'm standing at the crossroads of the world inside of Walt Disney World's Hollywood Studios, and I am here with Johnny Hollywood, John Kapos. John, what is up?
Nothing much. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. This is the latest installment, April 2016, of our Hollywood Studios time capsule, and there is a lot that has changed here recently. In fact, in very early April, the landscape literally changed. The map literally changed, John.
half of the park is gone.
I don't know if half of it is, but when I look at, and I'm holding an old map versus the new map, right, because we're in that transition between a couple of weeks. And if anything, the font has gotten a little bit bigger in the new maps.
I agree with that.
Kind of like if you're doing that paper for school and you needed it to take a couple of extra pages, you increase the font to a 12 instead of a 10.
Exactly.
That's definitely what it looks like has happened here. But that said, we're standing, looking down Hollywood Boulevard at the Chinese Theater. It looks wonderful. Sid's on our left-hand side. And, of course, Oscar's Garage on the right. Look absolutely wonderful. And really, you know, nothing's changed here on Hollywood Boulevard. Great movie ride, the Charlie Car Cafe. In fact, I'm sure there's a line out of the door for the Starbucks location or the Charlie Cars. There always is. Brown Derby, Mickey's of Hollywood. Let's go ahead and walk down Hollywood Boulevard, get a little bit of the background. What
Sounds
do you think?
Sounds good.
A lot has indeed changed here. We have to say that, right?
Well, last time we did this tour was Osborne Lights.
It was Osborne Lights, and the time before that, it was Star Wars Weekends. Star Wars Weekends 2015, a year ago, and here we are now in 2016. There are no Star Wars Weekends, but the Force has awakened the Hollywood Studios. Is that all they said?
Correct, and it has more of the Force that people that haven't experienced Star Wars Weekends, and for veterans like myself and Sam, you got to reach down a little bit further to fill that Force.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, you know, Star Wars Weekends was awesome. I loved it. You loved it. The 501st Parade, we're not seeing that. The events that used to happen back in the Premier Theater or in the Hollywood Hills Theater with the celebrities, the motorcade, that stuff's not here. But we do have a stage show. We have some outstanding fireworks this year.
Yeah, fireworks are incredible.
And that started with Star Wars Weekends, and it just transformed. I tell you what I am seeing a lot of, which I kind of like, the BB-8 balloons. They're pretty cool.
I think BB-8's getting the push now with the map and the souvenirs now on merchandise.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I'm seeing some BB-8 dresses for ladies and all of that sort of thing.
It used to be a big push on Ben Solo. Now it's going on BB-8.
Is that your way of not saying Kylo Ren while
I
saying
do not
Kylo
know
Ren?
That name.
That's awesome. So we're making a right on Sunset Boulevard. We're not going to go all the way down here. The only thing that's really changed here is the removal of something that was new last time we came through here, which was Club Disney.
Which was one of my personal favorites.
It was a great place to hang out, charge up the phones, the dance club with Mickey Mouse. Now, obviously, the building is still there, and if you head down towards the Rock and Roller Coaster, there's a sign down there that says, watch this space for future items for your enjoyment.
And it's still holding Club Villain Tuesdays and Saturdays.
So Club Villain, which is a hard-ticketed event, it is going on here. Here's what I did want to point out to you, John. We're headed down Hollywood Boulevard, and the Legends of Hollywood store, which previously was Frozen, everything from the film, is now Star Wars, everything from the
which
film.
Which is a.k.a. Waldo's Grotto's.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you, because we know Waldo's Grotto was back in the section of the park that's no longer there. And in essence, when you look at the map, we should mention this. Essentially, you can get back to Muppet Vision, but there's nothing behind Muppet Vision, and there's nothing behind Toy Story Mania.
Correct.
So the entire Streets of America section has been closed. There is no longer a Studios Catering Company, Honey, I Shrunk the Movie's Kids Set, Lights, Motors, Action, Waldo's Grotto. All of that is no longer available to get.
Good choice on shows, Sam. You and John doing those updates from Hollywood Studios, yeah, that doesn't get tiresome at all. And it looks like you're going to have a couple more years of those to do. So, really looking forward to it. Okay, Jimmy, you're up.
You know, my first time in Walt Disney World was in 1986. I was 11. And then I think I went about 2 years after that when I was probably about 13. I remember parts of that trip pretty vividly. And I still have pictures from that trip. I'll share some with Ed and Sam, and maybe we can get some of those pictures in the show notes, which is pretty funny. But I think, you know, I thank my parents for bringing me on that trip, because I think that's where my Disney nerdship kind of began. And it was so wonderful. It's so much going on there and so much to do and see. And it's just kind of sensory overload. So, you know, so that's kind of where it all began. And throughout the years, I kept going back. And that's where we did our honeymoon. Me and my wife did our honeymoon. And that was her first trip. And, man, we've been back so many times since then. But I tell you, it seems like every time we go back, we experience something new, or we meet somebody new, or we have some type of experience, maybe not even an attraction, that's brand new to us, that kind of defines that trip. My favorite ride of all times, it's really tough for me to nail one down. And if you ask me the same question tomorrow, the answer may be different, because so many of them are so close to the top in my mind. But today I'm going to say the Haunted Mansion. I love the Haunted Mansion. I love the idea that it's a classic Disney dark ride on an Omnimover. It's good for any age group. It's got so much great detail. I love the fact that it's gained some popularity in the past few years, and we're starting to see that in merchandise and the new Memento Mori store, which is not that new anymore, but that was such a big, big deal when they decided to open that store specific just to Haunted Mansion merchandise. So that's fantastic, and we truly love that, and it's a must-do every time we go. We have to ride the Haunted Mansion at least once, and usually it's multiple times. I don't really have any attractions that I would say I hate. I can tell you the one that I probably ride the least would be Collie River Rapids. And it's been quite a while since I've ridden it. Maybe I need to go revisit it, because I do remember a little bit about it. It does have a good story. I just don't like... I just remember that you can get very, very wet on that attraction. And I don't like being that wet walking around a theme park. So maybe I need to revisit it and hope for the best. But that's probably the one I don't ride. I typically will walk by. Even though the kids like to ride it, we'll go watch them ride and shoot the water cannons at them. But I typically stay off of it. First, one of the cool things is, I was talking about things, you know, every trip doing something different. And this upcoming trip with all the Disney Nerds podcast, we're talking about maybe doing the Behind the Scenes tour as a group. So I've never done the Behind the Scenes tour, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, especially experiencing that with the group. We've done the boardwalk tour together just a few years ago, and it was a whole lot of fun just to do that as a group of friends who are on the podcast. You know, we're all over the country. We don't get to see each other that often. We talk, you know, pretty often, but we don't get together, and it's really cool to be together with all them guys and, you know, in Walt Disney World, doing what we love and experiencing some of those things as a group, especially for the first time. So my favorite show in the past 100 shows, I'm going to go with show number 170. And it kind of ties back to the thing I'm going to do in the one thing I'm going to do differently in November, because that show was all about tours. So this year in January, I was lucky enough to be able to go on the first... I had been on the boardwalk tour, but that was the only tour I'd been on, which is a free tour. I highly recommend it. But I was able to go on the Keys to the Kingdom tour in January, which was fantastic, and it was very, very nerdy. You get to learn a lot of new information, as well as going behind the scenes and then in the Utilidors, and just, man, the wealth of knowledge and getting to ride some of those attractions with a different point of view. We got to ride Haunted Mansion, just a regular ride through, but in addition to that, we got to ride the Jungle Cruise. But rather than the Jungle Cruise skipper doing their little spiel, our tour guy kind of took over the mic and just told us some of the behind-the-scenes stuff about that attraction. So that was a whole lot of fun. If any of you want to dig deeper, I have some friends going, my cousin and her boyfriend going with us in November, and it's her boyfriend's first time. And we were talking about the tour, and I don't know if something like the Keys to the Kingdom tour is good for a first-timer. like your first time to Walt Disney World. But if you've been a couple times and you're looking for something to dig a little deeper, I think something like the Keys of the Kingdom tour, the Behind the Scenes tour, is a great way to just kind of nerd out a little bit and get some details and some things that you probably didn't know about Disney. And I think it's a fantastic way to do that. So if you listen to the show number 170, we kind of run through all the tours, but it was a lot of fun. So thanks, guys. And we look forward to having you with us for the next 200. And again, if you like the show, please just share with a friend.
Hello and welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is show number 170. And today, we wanted to talk a little bit about discovering new things at Walt Disney World. Jimmy's with me. Jimmy, what is happening, buddy?
Hey, man. How's it going? I am fantastic. I feel like it's been a while since I've talked to you. Any chance?
I think it has, too. Yes.
Any chance you're going to be popping up in the middle of my vacation in February?
Oh, you know, we're still working on it. Not sure just yet, but you never know, right? We're not set yet, but we're working on that. That's
for sure. I feel
like
my vacations are not the same without you there.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Now, along those lines, you and I and all of the members of the Disney Nerds, we love to go to Walt Disney World, and we do it all the time, right? And sometimes it's just to go and spend 4 days in the parks or a week in four parks in Disney Springs. But every once in a while, you're after that something a little extra, something special, something that you can learn a little bit about how the magic happens. And in some cases, there's quite a few, call them backstage tours, that happen throughout Walt Disney World. And what we were hoping to do is talk about a few of those. And I know you had some recent experiences with a backstage tour.
For any of the listeners who have been listening for a while, it would be noted that on previous shows that I've always said that I was kind of afraid to go on one because I didn't want to know too much. But a very good friend, Lisa, a couple weeks ago, Lisa and Angela, me and Kim went down for a trip, kind of an extended weekend, kind of to celebrate my birthday as well as Lisa and Angela's birthdays too, that were all kind of within a couple months of each other. Without me knowing it, they booked the Keys to the Kingdom tour. So I got to go on the Keys to the Kingdom tour as a surprise. I didn't find out till the day before we went. And I tell you, I would say I was wrong. And that's tough for me to say, Sam. You know I'm pretty hard-headed, and it's hard for me to admit when I'm wrong.
Occasionally.
But I would tell you that I was wrong. It did not ruin anything for me. If anything, it kind of reinvigorated the passion a little bit.
As Disney nerds, and if you're listening to this, you are, there are so many different experiences that you can go through with the behind-the-scenes tours. They do them at all of the parks, and they have some that go to multiple parks. So the one that Jimmy's referring to, we'll get into in a few minutes, but that's just over at the Magic Kingdom. But you can do things, for example, over at Animal Kingdom, where you can do a backstage tells, where you get to look behind the scenes of what it takes to help the animals and help them thrive, and a lot of things happening behind the scenes there.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Cool. And if y'all have any questions for me, please let me know. I'm pretty laid back. But my name's Hillary. I work at the Wild Africa. You're kind of standing in our Outfitters post right now. It's a 3-hour tour of our park here at Animal Kingdom. So anything you want to know about animals or how we take care of our animals, what we do, you can let me know. But we do, like you were saying, take a lot of initiatives in the conservation world. It sounds like a storyline that Disney made up. Because, you know, we're full of, you know, that really rich storytelling here in our parks. But at Animal Kingdom, we actually are a researching facility. So we do a lot of research here with our animals that have actually gone on to help out some animals in the wild. One of the projects that I really like talking about involves our elephants.
Or if you've been on the safari, you've seen people on the Wild Africa Trek, which is one of the tours where you get, you know, up close and personal with some of the animals and really a different sense of what's happening out there on the savannah. And you know what? Most of these tours are an extra cost, not all of them, and we'll get to that. So there's a couple at Animal Kingdom. Over at Epcot, there's Behind the Seeds. And Jimmy, you've probably seen the people inside Living with the Land walking back and forth, and you're wondering, what are they doing back there?
How's it going, guys?
Oh. Hi, how are you?
All right. Yeah, good. Scoot on in. We'll make we're, it's like a big campfire. No, fire. Sorry. All you guys, my name is Jeff. I'll be your tour guide today. A lot of what you're going to get to see in the greenhouses today is innovative in agriculture. It is truly the future of agriculture. Now, it's not all brand new. It has been around for years, but it's now finally catching up to industry. Eventually, when population doubles, supposedly by the year 2050, we will have different ways to feed all of our family and all the people in the world, and this will be the way that we do it. We will get to see a lot of things. Now, what I'd like to do is introduce myself, tell you a little bit about me, and then have you guys go around and tell me about you, because by the end of this, we're going to be like a big family. We'll even have a family reunion 10 years from now. Behind the scenes.
Tours are really fun. I've done many of them, and I totally recommend them. I'm looking forward to doing the Behind the Seeds tour. One of the good things about the Disney tours are that they're not the same every time around. Jimmy mentioned some of the rides they went on the Keys to the Kingdom. Well, when I went on one of the tours there, it was different rides. So you never know. Okay, Lisa, you're up.
So my first trip down to Walt Disney World was in October of 1985. And connected to that trip is my favorite ride of all time. And that would be the Walt Disney World monorail. It certainly stems back to my first trip. We stayed at the Contemporary Resort. And there was something magical about watching that monorail come through the resort as we were standing in the Grand Canyon Concourse. It was the first attraction that I had ever experienced, because of course when you were staying at one of those resorts back then, you either took the boat or the monorail to Magic Kingdom or to Epcot. So to me, the monorail was always the very first attraction that we experienced at Disney World. My most hated attraction, sadly, is It's a Small World. And I say sadly because as often I feel like I'm in the minority here. I really found the song to be incredibly annoying, stuck in my head. So I always have a tendency to avoid that attraction unless my kids are dragging me on. Don't be fooled though, whether I'm down at Walt Disney World or not, for certain, that song gets stuck in my head on a regular basis. So as we all know, we are heading down for our Disney Nerds meetup in November. And I've talked about this several times before. Despite the number of trips that I have taken down to Walt Disney World, there are still attractions that I have yet to experience. We always have our old standbys and things that we tend to go to. But there are certainly still quite a few attractions out there that I have yet to experience. And after consulting with my travel advisors for this trip in November, my children, we have decided that for the first time ever, we are going to hop the train to Rafiki's Planet Watch. And this is not something that we have ever experienced. Certainly not something in all the years that I have been going to Walt Disney World I have ever experienced. We are incredibly excited to be experiencing something new this trip, and I think my kids are equally as excited to be doing something at Walt Disney World with us that we have never done before. My favorite episode has to be episode 109. Walt Disney World bathrooms. I know this sounds a little strange. When I read the description of this particular episode, I thought to myself, this is amazing. The Disney Nerds podcast has dedicated an entire show to their favorite Walt Disney World bathrooms. And let's be honest, there are thousands of bathrooms on property between the four parks, Disney Springs, the resort. This was a pretty defining episode for me as a fan of the Disney Nerds. Back in my mid to late teens, my father and I took a trip to Walt Disney World, and we found ourselves by day two or three experiencing the pleasures of the many bathrooms that Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and MGM Studios had to offer. It became a really funny part of one of our trips. So much so that I know I have a photo album somewhere full of pictures of both my father and I going into and coming out of bathrooms. By the end of the trip, whether we had to use the restroom or not, we still had a picture of almost every restroom throughout the parks. So I think it was this episode of the Disney Nerds podcast that made me realize I found my people. I found my home. I wasn't alone in my passion and love for the details of Walt Disney World. And I think the rest is history.
Hello and welcome back to the Disney Nerds podcast. This is show number 109. Magic Kingdom's always the best. So in Magic Kingdom, there are many, many restrooms inside Magic Kingdom, by the way. Let's be clear. So I guess let's start with, what do you think, what's your go-to, what's the best restroom in Magic Kingdom?
Well, again, like as you said, if you're talking about theming, it's one. And if you're talking about, you know, convenience or something like that, it's an entirely different one. So do you have a preference where we start?
You know, and I'm glad that you say that, because let's step back one second here. Because there is the convenience versus best themed, but I think we also should step back, because I did a little research before this, and I found a couple of people complaining about, oh, this restroom doesn't have a changing table. I'm not that far off of needing to find changing tables. Jimmy, you're probably a little further off of that than I am, and Jen, you weren't doing that not long ago, I'm sure.
Right.
If you don't see a changing table when you go in, it's in the handicap stall. Head in there. That's where it is, along with the sink right next to it. So they all have that type of facility.
Yep.
If you're looking for special needs, the baby care center, first aid center are still going to have everything that you possibly could need or want. If you have an emergency or anything like that, that's the place to go. And they tend to be centrally located, easy to find.
Absolutely. And sorry, along those lines, I was going to say too, they do have like larger full-size changing tables and tiny little potties for potty training kids. So definitely the baby care centers have some really unique amenities.
And I've needed them for exactly that.
I would also add to that, if you have maybe a toddler, you're going through, you know, potty training, stuff like that, where a regular bathroom in Walt Disney World may not be the ideal situation, but you don't want to have to walk all the way to the baby care center. They're kind of spread out. There's a lot of companion restrooms as well.
Yep.
Which are just, you know, you walk in, you can lock the door, just you and your child, and have a little privacy. Because a young child learning the potty train and stuff like that, that may be a crowded restroom in Walt Disney World in the right place for that.
Right. So where are we starting? Convenience or theming?
I will say in Magic Kingdom, we can probably do both. I would bet a dollar to a dime that the theming one will all be the same for us.
Sure. I don't know about that.
Oh. I have two, but there's the one. There's the one.
The one, right. It's like,
all right, so let's talk about that. The best themed restroom in the Magic Kingdom.
It's obvious. Probably anywhere on Walt Disney World property.
Probably, yes.
Okay, what do you got?
It's got to be the Tangled restroom.
Yes.
The Tangled toilets, are in the location that was once the Skyride.
That was the land, yeah.
The Skyway to Tomorrowland was right there.
Yep.
Now, interesting about that particular spot, and something that I noticed not long ago, we're all creatures of habit, right? And I remember a lady came running around Peter Pan's flight with a little boy that you could tell had to go, and she was going to where the old restrooms were, which is now the queue for Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And she just had this look of panic on her face, and I pointed across.
I've been there.
It's over there. She's like, oh, okay, thank you.
That area is actually the last time we were together, Sam.
You're right.
we're charging cell phones, if I remember right.
Right outside.
I was going to say, for people that aren't quite familiar, it's in the end of Fantasyland, or the beginning, depending on which direction you're coming in, across from Peter Pan, next to Small World, that kind of area. You can't miss it because there's the tower. There's, on one side of that area, there are lots of lots of charging stations, and the restroom side is just so cool. There are, you know, wanted posters and just really great tributes to the movie. And then inside the restrooms, at least in the women's, I imagine similarly in the men's, there's beautiful paintings like Rapunzel has all over her tower room, and they're just really cool. And as Jimmy was saying at the beginning of the show, this is the one I thought of when you said, they might be really crowded, but still worth going to. These are always busy when I go there, but they're so cool to visit.
It's right in the middle of everything.
I was about to say, it's a central location. You're kind of right in between everything going on in Fantasyland, and then the Haunted Mansion's right on the other side. So you're right in that transition between Liberty Square, and it's kind of in its own little area. So I think it tends to be busy.
Yeah.
Those have to be 2 to 3 times larger than the older restrooms in that location.
Oh, sure. Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Easy. So that's definitely something.
Yeah. I wish I was part of that show. That would have been fun. I do have a lot of input and, unfortunately, a lot of output on the bathrooms of Walt Disney World. Okay. So I guess it's going to be my turn now. And the first time I went to Walt Disney World was with my family in 1976. We went down for the Bicentennial, and that's the early days of the park when there was only the 2 hotels and just the 1 park. The Magic Kingdom, although it was great, it was an incredible time. Staying at the Polynesian was really cool. I remember the Disney show, Wonderful World of Disney, opened up, and you always saw the kids going down that rock slide at the Polynesian, so we were able to do that. That was really, really cool. The trip itself was fun. We went to the park, I think it was 3 days, and we also did SeaWorld. And was that it? I think we probably went to the coast too. So that was a really, really fun time. And I didn't get back to Disney World until the 80s. So that was kind of a big hiatus. We did a lot of different vacation places, but really, really grateful to the parents getting us there that early, though, in 76. My favorite ride is the Pirates of the Caribbean. And although I tell you what, Banshee's kind of running a good second to it now, but we'll see as the years go on how Banshee survives. But Pirates to me has always been the greatest ride, and after seeing the Disneyland version of it too, it just reinforces how incredible the story and how much thought and basically a lot of the ways they put that ride together. So Pirates definitely my favorite attraction. Worst ride. Like Sam said, there really is no worst ride. However, in my older age, I'm finding the spinning rides tend not to be my friends. Although, after saying that, and after hearing what Charlotte said about Mission Space, I don't agree. I have no problem on Mission Space. Green, orange, whatever. I guess my eyes don't see the spinning, so we're not that affected. However, on teacups, or Aladdin's, or carpets, or Dumbo, any of those spinning rides. What's the one over at Animal Kingdom? Yeah, I'm not too happy about those anymore, so I'll stay away. The trip coming up in November, the first time I'm going to do something thing is, there's a couple things, and I'm kind of a little disappointed because Rivers of Light was on the list, and they're not actually doing Rivers of Light in November, so that's off the list now. Doing the river ride in Pandora, I haven't done that when I was down there in the summer, so I must do that this time around. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And there's always Cali River Rapids. Now, I've never done that, so that's always out there in the wings. If it's a definite for this trip, we don't know. We'll have to see. So the show I'm going to pick for my favorite show of the last 100 is show 161, Sounds from the Parks. Now, we have a series of shows we'll do called Sounds from the Parks, and basically it is what it says. We put out shows that are recordings that we've done when we're down at the parks. Sometimes they'll be specific and we're trying to prove a point or show something. Other times it's just turning the sound recorder on and letting it go. 161, it was just basically a couple of different attractions that are great to listen to. I found out early, listening to the podcasts, that I get as much fun listening to shows online as I do listening to people talk about Walt Disney World. Now, the cool thing is the attraction, obviously, but I love to hear the sound effects behind it, meaning I love to hear some of the crowds behind it, or that one crying baby that's in every attraction, or perhaps the announcements the cast members make. Every one of those little things brings me closer and closer to being back in the parks. All you need to do is close your eyes, and you'll be there again. So the sounds from the park shows I really love. I throw headphones on when I can, if I'm not driving, and it really does come in well.
So, as you can plainly see, imagination works the best when it's set free.
You said it, Doc! Imagination is a blast!
Okay, guys, thanks for riding.
Of energy. How are you? No need to answer. You know, you're probably surprised to see me here, aren't you? But then there's probably a lot of places you'd be surprised to see me when you think about it. If you were driving in your car, for instance, okay? Close your eyes. You're in your car. Don't close your eyes. In the car. But right now, think about it. You're in your car. You're driving. And then all of a sudden, from the back seat, I just pop up and go, hey! You just whack me in the head, wouldn't you? That wouldn't be nice. But then it wouldn't be nice for me to do that to you. How'd I get in your car anyway? Did you lock the car? Maybe it was your fault. Maybe I'm just teaching you a lesson. But the point is, to see me here as a spokesperson for the universe of energy. I mean, that's crazy. You know, I mean, I'm an expert on a lot of things. You know that. I know that. But not a lot of things. A few things. But energy. I mean, there was a time I could care less about it. And then suddenly everything changed. One day I was sitting in my apartment. I said I was sitting in my apartment when, there it is. I'd offer you some snacks, but I can't hear me. Hey, you, how about sharing some of those chips? No, you're on a diet. Me, how about you? Anyway, I'm watching TV and my favorite show's about to start.
This is Jeopardy.
Yes! Told you it was my favorite show. Who is it? And, of course, no one locks their doors in New York.
Hey, it's your neighbor, Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Hey, Bill Nye the Science Guy. It's Ellen, just Ellen, I guess. What can I do you for?
I'd like to borrow some aluminum foil, a clothespin, and a candle.
Another hot day, huh?
Actually, I'm working on a new experiment.
Take whatever you need. I don't want to miss any of the game.
What are you watching?
Jeopardy.
Yes.
A professor of energy at Princeton University, Dr. Judy Peterson.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
It's my old college roommate, Judy Peterson. She was such a smarty pants, know-it-all. I had the best nickname for her, though.
What was that?
Stupid Judy.
Ellen, that makes no sense. She has a PhD.
I know, but it made me feel better. So now I guess she's some hotshot, energetic professor.
She's a professor of energy.
Whatever. Who cares about stupid Judy and her stupid energy?
Ellen, energy's the most important thing in the universe.
Oh, yeah, sure. Take her side.
I'm not taking her side. It's just that without energy, nothing would go. Nothing would happen. I mean, there'd be nothing.
Well, then we'd really be in jeopardy now, wouldn't we?
Yeah, well, what is, thanks for the supplies, and see you later.
What is? Bye-bye.
It's the Parliament of Israel.
What is the Knesset?
Right again. Go.
Right again, Judy.
U.S. Constitution.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy. Maybe the universe needs energy, but I don't. I'll take a nap for 100.
Well, that's it for show number 200, guys. I hope you enjoyed coming along on that little look back over the last 100 shows. If you want to get in touch with the show, send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Stop by our Facebook page, The Disney Nerds Podcast, or the group page, Disney Nerds. As Jimmy said early on, guys, without you listening and without you contributing, this show would not be worth the while. So a big heartfelt thank you goes out to you guys. You made these 200 shows incredible. So for Sam, Lisa, Jimmy, Charlotte, and sorry you couldn't make it, Jen, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Quaharini.
Thanks for listening, and so long, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening. Tell a friend, please.